Spill wine on the hotel sheets. Oh, well, well, well. We laugh it off with our purple teeth. Palm trees in the dirty streets. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And there ain't no place I'd rather be. I'd give up anything to be with you. Nothing like blue skies in the clear view. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Around the Rim. My name's Sam Anthony, your humble host here on Around the Rim. We have a full house today here in the Army Radio Room. Joining me is, to my right, Greg Sutton with, as always, his number 66 Mario Lemieux hat. You know, you gotta show some respect to the Pens. Ian Kist, rocking the sweater vests. If you've ever seen RMU, you know, Colonial Sports Center, Sports Talk in the Berg, any live broadcast of women's basketball, men's basketball, hockey, you've seen the sweater vests. And then, as always, my counterpart from Will Sam and Sam in the Morning, Will Camilleri.
Hello.
Thanks, everyone, for coming in today. I'm really glad everyone's here and excited about some women's basketball.
Man, I feel like a real, like, broadcaster today because two radio shows, pre-game intermission and post-game shows coming up.
You got a full day.
Game. Yeah. I feel like this is like what James Brown does.
You know, you are definitely like the RMU James Brown.
Oh, I got to tell you what we're doing tonight after the show about for tonight's broadcast.
All right. Yeah. All right. We got some stuff going on. But, you know, we got to get in, you know, Around the Rim, women's basketball podcast. We've been on a brief two-week hiatus. You know, life gets in the way. We're college students. You know how it is. So, but yeah, we're just going to, you know, roll in. A lot's happened since we last came. You know, two losses, St. Francis, Brooklyn, and St. Francis, PA. So we're getting down to the end of the season here, and both Robert Morris and St. Francis are sitting at 11-2. Robert Morris has a higher overall record, but in terms of tiebreaker, that's not going to matter. It's actually intriguing how the tiebreaker comes down. So the way it works is they look at head-to-head. So again, if it's a split between, you know, the top two teams, they go, okay, you know, how have you fared against, you know, the first seed, which is Robert Morris? How have you fared against the second team, which is St. Francis PA? So that doesn't matter. Then you get down to the third, the fourth, you know, and then depending on, so if, let's say, you know, again, Robert Morris is 2-0 against the team that's in third, and St. Francis is 1-1, then Robert Morris would have that tiebreaker. So each team only has one other loss besides against each other. And Robert Morris's was to St. Francis Brooklyn, and St. Francis PA's was to Sacred Heart. So the intriguing part of that is that it comes down to who's going to finish ahead. So if St. Francis Brooklyn finishes ahead of Sacred Heart, then St. Francis PA will get that first seat. Now, if Sacred Heart finishes ahead of St. Francis Brooklyn, then Robert Morris gets the number one seed. Each way, the way it looks right now is that Robert Morris and St. Francis PA are both going to, you know, the way the playoff works now is there's pods. So one half of the tourney is hosted by the two seed. The other half is hosted by the one seed.
Mm.
It looks like either way, they're each going to host a pod.
Mm-hmm.
What this can determine is if we get to that championship game and it is a Robert Morris versus St. Francis, which right now, the way the conference is shaped, where it's so really, you know, it's dominated by Robert Morris and St. Francis, it looks like that's what's going to happen. That just determines who's going to be home for that game. And the interesting thing about that is that each team won their home game in that head-to-head series this season. So it appears that home court advantage has a big impact on who could potentially go to the NCAA tournament from the NEC. So that's where we're going to get into today's discussion, all right? So looking at the standings, looking at how Sacred Heart and how St. Francis Brooklyn have fared, who do you guys think is going to, you know, get the number one seed in the NEC tournament? Who's going to finish ahead? Is St. Francis Brooklyn going to finish ahead, or is Sacred Heart going to finish ahead?
Well, I'm pulling up the standings right now as we're talking about it. So it's between St. Francis Brooklyn and Sacred Heart, right?
Yeah. Whoever finishes on top can determine who, between Robert Morris and SFU, gets that one seed.
It's looking like San Francisco of PA. He's probably going to get the number one seed considering San Francisco of Brooklyn right now is sitting at a 7-7 record while Sacred Heart's down there in seventh place. Tied with St. Mary's, Mount St. Mary's at 6-9. So in my opinion, Sam, it's looking in my eyes at least that St. Francis of PA is probably going to end up in that one seed and have a little bit more home court advantage.
So, but see, that's the interesting thing here is that again, Sacred Heart, St. Francis, Brooklyn, it's still it's a game and a half difference because it's 6-9 and 7-7.
The thing with them is we don't really need Sacred Heart to jump St. Francis Brooklyn per se. We just need Fairly Dickinson to move into fourth. And that all catalyzes with Sacred Heart beating St. Francis Brooklyn, which the game is at Sacred Heart. St. Francis is a terrible record on the road.
Where they're going to play on the road for the rest of the season.
Right.
Is what it looks like.
So I don't think Sacred Heart will finish above St. Francis Brooklyn, but I do have a feeling that Fairly Dickinson will make a run and hopefully top them, which would result in an RMU number one seed.
See, and again, you know, I know St. Francis Brooklyn. The big thing, I think the big turnaround for them was beating RMU. I think mm-hmm. that really was, you know, again, kind of prove their worth, prove that they can compete. But I still think that Sacred Heart can make that jump just because, you know, they have been kind of inconsistent this season. You know,
mm-hmm.
you've had games where they've looked really good, you know, 75-56 win over Mount St. Mary's. But then, you know, they lose by 23 to St. Francis PA, and then they go and beat Robert Morris. You know, stuff like that where it's like it almost depends on which team shows up. That's the 7-7 is there's the good St. Francis Brooklyn and there's the bad St. Francis Brooklyn. And to me, it comes down to scoring, because when they're scoring a lot, it seems like, you know, they get the win. And when they're getting in those tighter games, you know, Robert Morris was probably one of those rare instances where mm-hmm. they won that close game. But a lot of their wins have come when they've put up, you know, 80 points, 75 points and that range, and their losses have come when they've been putting up 40, 50, 60 points.
And teams have, you know, like Fairly Dickinson last Saturday, you know, played them tough, didn't let the Colonials get ahead, and then took advantage of some, you know, mishaps on the Colonials end, and they went ahead and took a 10-point lead in the second half. But then the Colonials got things rolling again, was playing Colonial women's basketball, and, you know, they ended up winning by, I believe, 11 double digits. And that's what happened against Sacred Heart. I mean, they had a 37-21 lead at halftime. Sacred Heart clawed their way back, but then the Colonials, you know, did their thing at the end and, you know, again, won by double digits.
Yeah. So to me, you know, looking at St. Francis Brooklyn's final five games that they have, so they actually play – no, I'm sorry, final four games that they have here. Sacred Heart, which I really do think that, you know, that's anyone's game, because Sacred Heart, again, proved that they can compete when they upset St. Francis PA, who, you know, the way they've been playing is they're, you know, arguably the best team in the conference. They go play Fairly Dickinson, another tough team in the NEC. Their record is deceiving. They're a lot better than you know, their record shows. The only easy game I see in the end, because then the final weekend is Central Connecticut and Bryant. The only one that I think that is a definite easy win is Central Connecticut. Because besides that, you're looking at teams that have been competitive in the conference this year. So, I mean, there's if everything goes the way that Robert Morris needs it to go, it would be St. Francis Brooklyn finishing 1-3 to end the season.
Mm-hmm.
And then at that point, you just need Sacred Heart to, what, win three of those, something like that.
So they need to finish. The best case scenario is St. Francis Brooklyn 1-3, Sacred Heart 3-1.
Yeah, I believe that unless I think Sacred Heart might have one more game. Yeah, they have three more games, so they'd go 2-1.
2-1.
So yeah, that would exactly be how it needed to go. So yeah, that's you know, some food for thought there, but they also have a tough road because it's St. Francis Brooklyn, LIU Brooklyn, Fairly Dickinson. They're all at home, which helps, but they really need to perform very, very well. So, yeah. So, now that we've kind of covered that, I think, you know, again, since the purpose of this show is Robert Morris women's basketball, to take a look at that team. So there were some bumps in the road. To say that, you know, I'm shocked by the St. Francis Brooklyn loss is probably an understatement with the way they, you know, sort of manhandled them. The biggest concern for me since that St. Francis PA loss has been the offense. Because, you know, again, it's been inconsistent. You know, in the Fairleigh Dickinson game and the Sacred Heart game, they were close late. I mean, really close. Like, either of those games, I really thought Robert Morris was not going to beat Fairleigh Dickinson. It's hurt. They've had Nneka Azebo's been out. The statement from the team was a violation of the team's academic rules. So that's as much as we know there. So we don't know when she's going to be back. I think that's just kind of a determination by the team. But she's a really important piece there. And you can just tell in kind of the way that this whole team's operated. But yeah, really, really recently, it hasn't been that same, I feel like, that level of confidence, that performance. And you know what? I don't know about you guys, but part of me kind of saw it coming because it's such a young team. I mean, I felt like for the most part, I know that they still had a lot of great pieces, but they still, you know, again, losing Anna Nikki Samuel-Amprou, Janae Brown, Rebecca Navarro, those were big pieces to lose. I feel like the way they started conference play was really exceeding expectations. And so, I mean, part of it is concern because you want to be able to get back to that point. Part of it's concern that they got hot too early and now you're going to get into the NEC tournament and it's going to be a battle. So in terms of, like, the state of the team right now, what's your confidence level that they're going to be able to stay competitive? And, you know, what do you think is their chance of, you know, running the table in the NEC tournament?
I feel like they have a good chance. They definitely we've seen the old Colonials, as you were speaking about earlier in the year, whenever they played Sacred Heart. I mean, they shot 55% from the field. They made 60% of their three points.
It was a really great start in that game, though.
It's the way that they looked early in the season. And seeing that late in the season, like they would early in the season, even after those two quick losses they dropped in those three games against St. Francis of PA and then St. Francis of Brooklyn, I have uttermost confidence in this team right now. I mean, they're able to bounce back. They're a young team. They're very diverse, and they definitely have people that can do just about everything. Like Megan Callahan can shoot the three, and she can also work inside and put it up just outside the paint. So, I mean, you have a lot of people that can do a lot of things.
On a 10 scale of my confidence, I give them a 7 because they have been battling back. They've been in close games. But, again, I mean, their offense, you know, they go in spurts where they just can't, you know, seem to do much. And that's when the teams take advantage when they start picking apart their defense a little bit. But I'm worried about them getting worn down. Because, you know, they have to keep fighting back in these games. And when the tournament comes, teams are going to, you know, that's when teams get look like most likely they get hot. They get going. And I think their teams are just going to try to wear down Robert Morris. And I think that's, you know, them having the fight late in the season, kind of a breeze in the early part of conference play. And then, you know, down the stretch, teams are figuring how they're playing. I think they're going to get, you know, a little tired. I hope that doesn't happen. But I think definitely home court would definitely, you know, put a little ease to that. But I definitely think that it's a little concerning that these teams are learning how to play Robert Morris.
I think you really need Megan Smith to return to that mid to late January form that she was in. She went through a stretch of
like buzzer beater Megan Smith form.
Yeah, like 5 or 6 games where she put up double digit points. I think she put up 22 on the 29th against CCSU. And then since then has, like, the game after was the St. Francis PA game. She put up 4 points.
Wow.
Then LIU Brooklyn 9 points, St. Francis Brooklyn 7. Fairleigh Dickinson 6, and then finally Sacred Heart, she put up 10. So it's the first time since the 29th of January that she has put up double digits in scoring. So you really need her to step back into that role that she was playing. And I don't know if it's just the fact that she had that game against St. Francis and it kind of shook her confidence or something. I don't know.
Because we were, I was there and Greg was there too for that, mm-hmm. that game against St. Francis. Megan Smith got beat up. I mean, just
there were a
hard
couple times,
fouls.
There was a couple times I thought she wasn't going to come back. I think it was towards the end of the first half. She got fouled pretty hard there in the transition game. And she stayed in and she got back. And then they finally called the foul on St. Francis. But it didn't look very good for her. And I think that might have just startled her a little bit.
Yeah. And
she might just be finally getting back into the groove. Because just in about any sport, when you get hit hard or get fouled hard, you're kind of a little bit nervous going back into it, no matter what level you're at or whatever, how many times it's ever happened. It's a shaking thing. And I think maybe that just happened to her. And maybe she's finally starting to get comfortable again.
Yeah. And mark my words, Megan Smith is probably one of the toughest players in the NEC. I've never seen a player, take more charges than Megan Smith. I feel like there's definitely a record in there somewhere. You could play a game how many times you see her, hit the floor because she's just not afraid to take that hit. But I think you're right. I think at some point it does have to take a toll on your body. Especially,
mentally, I wouldn't even say body, but mentally.
Yeah, and going through the season
that
like
abuse.
That.
I wouldn't say abuse, but she can take it.
Yeah.
But it's definitely more of a mental game at this point, late in the season. You're physically exhausted from everything that you've gone through this season, being those fouls you take. But in the mental game right now, I feel like that's a really big part of everything that you're playing whenever you get towards a postseason, because you have to be mentally tough as just as physically tough as you have to be.
Yeah.
So I feel like it might be a mental game right now for some of this Colonial squad.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely feel like Will definitely hit on a strong point here is, again, it's that midseason wear down and you see her performing again. And especially as a senior, some players are really going to respond around you, especially the younger ones. That mm-hmm. are going to kind of get that confidence knowing that, you have that grinder out on the floor, the one who's going to make the plays when you need to. Because even, that buzzer beater, go back to that, that was a broken play. That was Megan Smith having the awareness, the basketball IQ to get to a spot, get open so that Nina Gustin could make the pass so she could take that shot. And you're going to need that come, tournament time.
Another thing I saw in the Fairleigh Dickinson game was, missed layups. Missed shots that, should have been, easy layups, especially for, Michaela Mulrain. I like to see more from her in production offensively. She's a monster, defensively, because she's so big, she's so tall, lengthy. She can, cover a lot in the paint. But, again, she goes up and they just strip it. They, put a lot of pressure on her. So, I think her aggressiveness just needs to be, who cares, just fight, get to the rim. And, again, also free throw shooting. There's close games are going to come down to free throw shooting, and if the Colonials don't hit their free throws, they can, I think, be upset in the tournament, or even these last few games, regular season. Michaela Mulrain, a lot of her shots from the line don't go in, and that's what a lot of it came down to against Fairleigh Dickinson was, the Knights gave the Colonials opportunities at the line, but they just couldn't cash in, and then they finally got rolling offensively. At the end of the game to go ahead in double digits, but that was something that caught my eye concerning the other day.
And something that has really kind of caught my eye all season from Robert Morris has been kind of like their turnover problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that loss to St. Francis, it was the win to St. Francis. They had 33 turnovers. That was their most of the season. When they played Sacred Heart on Monday, they had 22 turnovers. That's something that, again, I think that comes with the youth that a lot of this team, has. But that's something that's been an issue all season. It hasn't gone away. It's been there in wins. It's been there in losses. I think we tend to ignore these things in a loss. Or not in a loss, in a win, rather. Because, people, care more about what that final score is. But that's something where if I'm an opposing coach, I go, look, because what St. Francis did, especially in that second game, it worked in both games, was the full court press. And you press people like Hinoki Komatsu and Nina Gustin, not only younger players, but smaller players. Robert Morris's probably biggest weakness is that they tend to be outsized, force a lot of turnovers.
But I think in that situation, Sam, we were there that second game at St. Francis, And from my in my opinion, and whenever a team is going to press you like that, and they're not using their faster players to press you, using their yeah. kind of like their post to push up against you because you like they know you're smaller down there. So in my opinion, in that situation, if I was a coach, I'd be saying, let's use our speed and our small size to kind of work around a little bit quicker, because Hinoka and Nina are both little shooters. Like, they yeah. shoot from the outside, but being little, they can also move a little bit quicker than everybody else that's pressing on them. So yeah. in my opinion, if they come up against St. Francis again, you can't let that mental game of, oh, they're bigger, they're gonna yeah. press us. You have to yeah. use that speed to get around them on that press, and you just can't let that affect you like they did that second game when they yeah. lost.
And if you talk to, you know, either of those players, they'll tell you that the biggest adjustment they've had to make coming from their respective countries to the United States, especially in the NEC, is that physical play. Mm-hmm. You know, they've said that they've really had to adjust to that, you know, being faster, being stronger. I think, like you said, I think the important thing is look, you know you're going to be faster. You know, use the width of the floor. I feel like, you know, again, you feel trapped, but you're going to be able to, if you can, you know, use that full length of the court, or full width of the court, rather, take advantage of that. Because, it's not that they haven't, I mean, they've broken the press plenty. It seems like once they do, you know, they're almost like rattled already, and they're like not settled down because that press is going and going and going. And it's, you know, it's breaking it and then taking a second to breathe and understand that, you know, you've broken it. There's no rush now. You know, you have the rest of that length of the shot clock, which is, you know, you're probably going to have, you know, between 20 and 25 seconds still. So it's these forced passes, trying to get down low, just trying to kind of get rid of it, that's been hurting them.
I think the other problem with that press, though, Sam, is once they do break it, they're thinking they do move fast whenever they do break that press. They were moving fast on the court after they break the press. And when they're moving fast down the court to that three-point arc to set up the play, they're still thinking fast, fast, fast. And I think that's where a lot of the turnovers came, is when they were trying to make those quick passes down low or around the arc or around the outside trying to swing it. And I think that's where another problem comes, is they're moving fast down the court to get out of the press, but yet again, they're not slowing it down once they get into the zone and trying to set up.
Yeah. What St. Francis did, and we'll go back to this because, you know, Greg, you and me, we were there. We saw that. And Ian, you watched the game mm-hmm. too, I believe.
Some of it.
It was just St. Francis played Robert Morris into their style of play.
The second half was Robert Morris's,
which
style,
is why they were leading.
And they held Jessica Kovach to less than 10 points.
Yeah. Which was
an incredible yeah. feat.
And
for
it's
that,
because,
that
you know, time. Again, they slowed the pace. It was, you know, again, it was thinking too much. Kovach had shots. She wasn't hitting them because it wasn't the pace she was comfortable with. She was disrupted. She was out of her comfort zone.
They weren't letting her shoot a shot.
Yeah. And so then you get to that second half. And yeah, I 100% agree with you, Greg, that they just, you know, they played St. Francis basketball, and Robert Morris fell behind so early that they had to pick up their pace, which isn't a good way to do it because that plays right into St. Francis's style. So it's an understanding of, you know, again, with the physical play, with the full court press, you still have to play your game. And, you know, I can keep going back to the youth all I want, but you're ultimately it's going to have to come down to that understanding is, you know, everyone – when you're going to play Robert Morris, it doesn't matter whether you're St. Francis or, you know, you're Central Connecticut State. The first thing you're going to look at is that Robert Morris St. Francis game, and you're going to go, all right, what did the Red Flash do to not only put so many points up on Robert Morris? And I know Kovach is a big part of that, but they absolutely shut them. That third quarter was easily probably one of the worst quarters that Robert Morris has played all season. And that's something that, you know, I think the team has to be aware of, that, you know, again, that was just a blatant weakness that was exposed by the Red Flash.
It was overall, it was just a tough game for Robert Morris. I mean, yeah. They held Ace Harrison and Jessica Kovach to a total of 17 points together. They had, in the first half, their final score was, I think it was 22-20 at the half, or 27-22. So Harrison and Kovach each had had 17 of those points total. And Robert Morris in the first half had it evenly divided scoring-wise, so there wasn't a pressure on one person. But then in the second half, St. Francis just came out, or I should just say Jessica Kovach came out and put her 23 points on the board, and she outscored the entire Robert Morris team in the second half of that game, Sam.
That was wild. That was wild. Just
that
watching
was
that
unhuman.
Entire.
I doubt that it might happen again if they play him again, but yeah. That's something they definitely have to look forward to in the season. Yeah. But
and we still have a little while before we, you know, have to cross that bridge. There's still two more weeks of play, mm-hmm. So that's the important thing to mention. the interesting thing for Robert Morris is they have not a lot of rest before that first game. Like, going into that final week, they actually play three games. So rather than their typical Monday-Saturday style, they go Monday, Friday, Sunday, and then play Wednesday, Thursday for the quarters and the semis. So you're talking about, what, one, two, three, four basketball games in 6 days at one point. So that, to me, right there, if you're talking about conference championship, before you even get to St. Francis, before you even get to that championship game, it's getting through that really tough stretch of work. And in terms of, you know, players like Megan Smith who, you know, take some abuse like that, it's what's going to be the key to really, you know, staying, keeping the energy up.
But the thing is with that, Sam, they do have a lot of games. And then these last four games, two of them are on the road and two of them are at home. But they're back-to-back. So they're Bryant tomorrow, and then they're in Central Connecticut on that Monday. So they're going from Rhode Island to Connecticut. That's not a fall trip. That's not a far trip.
Yeah.
They're not going to waste a lot of time there. But then they get to come home between Monday and Friday. They have that entire time to rest.
So they do get to finish at home,
they're
going to
rest.
Nice.
They're going to finish at home. They're going to have plenty of – they're not going to have to travel between Friday and Sunday, where they're going to have the advantage there of rest and home court there to finish out the season. And even on that road trip, that two-game road trip, I don't think it's going to play much of a factor for like rest because of the short distance between Smithfield, Rhode Island, and New Britain, Connecticut.
Yeah. I mean, the overall distance there is long. That trip's brutal. Will and I can account for that road trip. But so to me, all right, the question is, and it's not necessarily like the traveling that's exhausting. It's playing in those physical games. So just think about this is when it comes to, you know, heading home, that home stretch there, those final two games. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you're tied with St. Francis or not. You know, you have a chance to win this, you know, get the first seed, win the conference regular season. Do you rest players in those final games? Do you look at players like Megan Smith who, you know, maybe need a game off or maybe need some less minutes? And, you know, players like, you know, Ikemetsu and Callahan that do a lot of scoring. Do you, you know, maybe limit their minutes in those final two games?
No.
I think you start them, obviously, but then you see how the game's going. You get a big lead in the first half, early, you know, at the end of the first quarter. Yeah, you set them for a lot of the second quarter, I think. And then you just, you know, evaluate, you know, after so many intervals of, you know, in the media timeouts and stuff. And I think, you know, Coach B's smart. He's probably one of the smartest guys, coaches that I ever, you know, I've seen
and
or
he knows
spoken
his players.
To, yeah, and he knows what each of them brings. So I think the coaching staff has a good handle on that. And I think they'll make, you know, the best call. I don't think they'll make a wrong call in this situation. But I think it just kind of has to take quarter by quarter and see. And it's also good to get the players that don't see a lot of time, some playing time. You don't know what kind of injuries that could occur in the postseason. Knock on wood, not many, but. Or any at all, rather. But I think it's, you know, you got to take quarter by quarter.
In my opinion, if I was at the helm during this stretch of four games, it would be a mixture of not just resting players. It'd be a mixture of like a normal game, like normal substitutions and resting players.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Like when you go up to Bryant, you gotta play the bet. You gotta play your team. You gotta play the way you've been playing the entire year.
Bryant's a good team.
Sitting in third place right now. But yet again, whenever you travel to Central Connecticut, you can use your bench to your advantage.
Yeah,
like the
teams
people that don't
not
get
as good.
Get in and get ready for the postseason. And then you come back home and you play Wagner. You could probably start a different five other than Megan
against
Smith
Wagner. Yes,
yes. They're sitting in last place. There's no worry. You shouldn't be worried about them. They're 3-12 in any seat. But yet again, whenever you come back to St. Mary's, I would say it's the last game before postseason, last regular season game. You play. Your
That's
game.
Where you kind of fine tune
things.
It
up. You play your game versus Bryant. You mix it up with Central Connecticut. You sit your guys, or women in this case, against Wagner. You give them the rest they need, but if you need to pull them in, you pull them in. You let them play off the bench. And then versus Mount St. Mary's, you go all full force and show everybody what you're made of right before the postseason. So it's got to be a composite type of rest play schedule, in my opinion.
Yeah. All right. Well, that actually really does it for the time that we have on Around the Rim today. Any final thoughts from you guys?
And My only thought right now is that Robert Morris needs to enforce their style of play whenever they can and use their bench to their advantage, because their bench is all just as talented as their starting five.
Yeah. Ian, well?
No, I've said everything I've planned on saying.
I mean, it's going to be fun. No matter what, it's going to be fun. It's going to be a fun ride.
This is going to be the
buckle
team
up, baby. It's a fun ride.
You know, all right. Well, thank you all for tuning in to Around the Rim. And we will see you next Friday. And we're, you know, you guys are going to want to stay tuned in for all this women's basketball news. You know, playoffs coming up. This is the time of year, March Madness, baby. So, you know, we will see you next Friday.